Turn your Bibles today to the book of Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 11. I want to preach today on a kind of an unusual subject, or the title of my message is kind of unusual. You ready for this? Are you ready? Here it is. Who said you can't be happy? That's my thought. Who said you can't be happy? Now, before I will say this, though. Before we qualify that statement, please don't look in the faces of a lot of people you know, okay? It's liable to ruin my title even before I even get started. But no, let me read verse number 11. Verse number 11, Isaiah chapter 58. While you're still turning, give me a chance to take a little sip of this water here. All right, verse number 11. The Bible says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." That's a great verse, isn't it? We're going to be looking at it here in just a moment. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning, as we approach the throne of grace, we do so realizing that it is indeed a throne of grace, or we wouldn't even have the ability or the right or the reason to even approach it. But we thank you today because of the precious blood. Lord, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Now, Lord, today as I stand here and with desire to preach a message, I realize that unless the Lord helps me, unless the Spirit of God give utterance, I realize, Lord, that I'll be just like stammering brass and tinkling cymbals. Now, Lord, bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning by saying, and of course, that is my message thought, who said you can't be happy? Now, let me begin by saying this morning that I look around me and I see a whole lot of things that certainly do not make me happy. I look at the land. I look at the condition of sin that's abounding. I look at the state of this world, this nation, and I'm certainly not happy in terms of what I see. I'm not happy many times when I look at people, and I'm sure that you can say the same thing. I'm not even happy many times when I look at myself. In fact, I want to say many times, just like Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" So you see, there's many things that we look at and we're not too happy with what we see. But let me say this morning that I've never been disappointed by looking at the Lord. I'm happy when I look to the Lord. Now, I think that every single one of us today would agree, based upon the precious passage of Scripture that I've read there, I think we'll agree this morning that this verse addresses a happy man. This verse certainly addresses a happy person. Now again, look at it, please. "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." So this verse has to address a happy person. Now, there's a song that kids used to sing sometimes in vacation Bible school. It went something like this. If you're happy and you say it, clap your hands. Or if you're happy and you're happy and you know it, rather, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, nod your head. Or if you're happy and you know it, say amen. You remember that song? We used to sing that. Kids used to sing that. Now, I need to say this. When we look at each other, our faces many times do not really tell the story. Our faces many times do not really reveal happiness. Not everybody has a smiley face. We know that that's true. Sometimes some people just don't smile, you know, as much as other people. And we understand that. So the smiley face is not in and of itself the only way to determine if a person is happy. Many times a person can have a serious face and yet be a lot happier than the person that has a smiley face. I just believe this morning when it comes to happiness, happiness is not simply something that's skin deep. Happiness has to relate to the inner person. Happiness is something of the soul, I believe. Now, there's a song that also people used to sing. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor. Having a change in my behavior, happiness is the Lord. So that's a good song. Somebody one time said that some people bring happiness wherever they go. Others bring happiness whenever they go. And there's some truth to that. It's also been said that the Constitution guarantees only the right of the pursuit of happiness, but not the ability to catch it. I read this poem. Life is too short to be sad in, to carry a grouch or to be mad in. 'Tis made to be happy and glad in, so let us be friends and be happy. Friends are too scarce to be sore at, too gloom and to glower and to roar at. They're made to be loved and not swore at, so let us be friends and be happy. Love is a store we should lay in. Love is a coin we should pay in. Love is a language to pray in. So fill up with love and be happy. That's pretty good, isn't it? At least I'd written it. Now, here's what the Bible says. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 144, verse number 15. A commentator by the name of Thomas Brooks said, "Nothing can make a man truly miserable that has God for his portion. And nothing can make a person truly happy that has not God for his portion." I just believe this morning that it is absolutely impossible to be happy to the core, to be happy in the total sense without knowing God. You see, people can outwardly, perhaps, can smile, can have outward emotional, maybe even a indication of being happy. But I'll tell you this morning, only the child of God has the capacity, because their heart has been made right with God, to truly know what it is to be happy. Now, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. I just think that happiness is maybe a byproduct of joy. I know joy is so important, but I believe that happiness is a byproduct of joy. Here's what I want to do this morning. I want to do this. I believe, according to the Bible, there are at least five characteristics of a happy person based upon that precious verse. Five characteristics of a happy person. I'll be so kind as to give you my outline ahead of time in case you fall asleep. At least you'll have it. Here it is. A happy person is saved. A happy person is satisfied. A happy person is strong. A happy person is submissive, and a happy person is secure. I believe those truths are found in this precious verse. A happy person is saved. Now, with your Bibles open, notice how the verse reads. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. The happy person is a saved person, guided by the Lord. That's only true of God's people. Only the people of God are guided by the Lord. What does Psalm 23 say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The child of God can look up towards heaven and can say, the Lord is my shepherd. My friend, That's more than just a song. That's a testimony of the child of God. Only the Christian can say, the Lord is my shepherd. No one that's not saved has no ownership to that passage. It's quoted all the time. Funerals especially. But nobody but the child of God can truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. Now understand this. The shepherd, he doesn't drive. Thank God the shepherd leads. He leads. When he is guiding, we're living near him with a warm heart towards him. Now you see, the Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. Anytime a person walks with God, they're being guided by the Lord. They're allowing the Lord to be their shepherd. And I'll tell you, that's only true of the child of God. Who said you can't be happy? I believe today a child of God can be happy and is happy. To follow him patiently and to learn to wait upon him. Bible says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Then it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I believe that happiness will be one of the byproducts in the pathway when he's leading. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, many Christians are not happy, though, because they're refusing his leadership. I mean, it's wonderful today to know that we're not going to have to go to hell. It's good today to be saved by God's grace and to know that we do not have to go to hell. But I tell you something. There's more to it than simply being saved and knowing we're not going to hell. Try this on. Now that we're saved, let's follow him. Let's love him. Let's serve him. Let's live gladly for him. That's another thing, you see. He guides. You see, the Bible says there, the Lord shall guide thee continually. He guides. How does he guide? He guides in the paths of truth, for one thing. He leads into truth. That makes a happy people. You see, a happy person is a person who's led in the path of truth. The Bible says in John 16, verse number 33, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He'll show you things to come. So he guides into truth. Now, something else that I need to say. The Lord, as a shepherd of God's people, he guides in truth. Now, I'm talking about this thing of happiness, you understand. Saved people have every right to be happy because the Lord is guiding us. He guides in truth. Something else. When the Lord is guiding, it's not on the path of truth, but it's a path of balanced emotions. You see, we learn by trusting Him that we can depend on God's care both when we're on the mountaintop and when we're in the valley. You see, God loves us and cares for us and is just as strong and just as close to us in the valley as when we're on the mountain. He guides in balanced emotions. We find that the valley experience is as significant as a mountaintop. I know this for sure. I know most of you have had your travels through the valley. I know that most of you know what it is to weep and to hurt and to suffer and be in pain. That's a part of being a member of the human family, and God's people are not immune to that either. We suffer. We hurt. We go through the valley. But I'll tell you, as we learn to lean on God's dependence and trust Him, we find out that it's just as precious going through the valley as going through the mountaintop. God's care is just the same. The Lord has not left us nor forsaken us because we're hurting, because we suffer, because we grieve. He's still there. Yes, you see, saved people have every reason to be happy. Not only when the sun's shining, but also when you can see no sun, Not only when things are going well, but also those times when everything's hurting. God's still good, isn't He? God's still good. Who said you can't be happy? Following the guide, it says here, the Lord shall guide thee. Following this guide will mean that we sense His love and care in all circumstances of life and will not doubt Him in the dark. We will be happy because we will be believing that God never withdraws His presence. He never. I've pastored long enough to know this. Many times, when God's people begin to suffer and to hurt and to get discouraged, it's during those periods of time that they're saying, "Where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? He seems like He's not as close right now." Or maybe they're beginning to say, "Because I'm suffering, God has turned His back on me. The Lord is not present." But I'll tell you, the more we walk with God and see His loving care, the more we realize that God does not withdraw His presence when we hurt. Many times, He's doing something very special in the lives of His people when we suffer, because He's working in a very special way. You know what? It's just like the potter and the clay illustration. When that potter is working with that clay, and that potter puts his foot on the wheel and turns the wheel and takes that delicate instrument and works with that piece of clay as the wheel is turning, the faster he turns the wheel, the more of an indication of the potter's eye and care of that product. And sometimes when the wheels of life are spinning more rapidly and it seems like nothing makes sense, that's the time that God is doing something in our lives in a very special way that He cannot do when the sun's shining. Who said you can't be happy? Saved people have every reason to be happy. Exodus 33:14. And He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest." You know, notice verse 11 again. The Lord shall. I like that word shall. Now listen, God shall. Now follow what I'm saying here. God's shall and will is more powerful than our hope so. When God says, "I shall," or God says, "I will," that far outweighs our hope so. I'm like you. Many times my response is, "I hope so." But let me tell you something. If God's already reinforced the fact that He will, He shall, that in itself is enough. But the problem I have is many times I'm being governed by feeling instead of what the Word of God says. I'm to walk by faith. I'm to depend upon His Word. I'm to not go by feeling. I'm to walk by faith. And that's what pleases God. Who said you can't be happy? God's people are saved. They have every right. Don't you love that old song? "The soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not desert to my foes. That soul, though all hail should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake." So you see, the happy person has the right guide and allows the shepherd to lead them. So a happy person is a saved person. And I've got a question. Do you know this morning, without a shadow of a doubt, that you're saved? Do you know right now, if you died, you go to heaven? Do you have that blessed assurance that Jesus is yours? I'm telling you, my friend, you better do better than have a religious answer. You better do better than have an answer like, "I'm a member of a church," or "I've been baptized," or "I've straightened up my life," or "I've turned over a new leaf," or "I'm keeping the Ten Commandments." You better have a better answer than that. I'll tell you, the answer is Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must be saved. Sometimes the devil, I think, in an area like this, where we hear that word all the time, preached all over the radio, preachers everywhere, gospel churches everywhere around here, independent Baptist churches, we hear it time and time again, get saved, get saved, get saved. Well, bless God, that's the most precious word you'll ever hear. It is important to be saved. I'm talking about being delivered from sin through the blood of Christ. I'm talking about being born again, recognizing you're a sinner, placing your trust where God placed your sins in the finished work of Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That's what I'm talking about. Who said you can't be happy? A happy person is a saved person. There may be times you'll not have a smiley face on. There may be times you'll have a miserable looking face. There may be times you'll have a serious looking face, but if Christ is in your heart this morning, who says you can't be happy? You have what really counts. Number two, a happy person is a saved person, and a happy person is a satisfied person. Verse 11 again. The Bible says, "And shall satisfy thy soul in drought." That's real satisfaction. Satisfy thy soul in drought. Doesn't say satisfy the mind. Doesn't say satisfy the body. Satisfy thy soul in drought. My friend, there's a big difference. It's a satisfaction in many ways when the soul has been satisfied. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you how. It's satisfying to know that sin's forgiven, isn't it? It's satisfying to have peace with God that passeth all understanding. It's satisfaction to know the love of God. It's a deep soul satisfaction to claim God's promises and to feel secure about the future. This satisfaction that the Bible talks about, and here's what I like. Don't you love the Word of God? And I'm not just saying that. You read it and you read it and you read it and you still come across things you've never seen before. This book amazes me. Obviously, I've read this verse many times, but I've never read it like this. Look what it says. And satisfy thy soul in drought. In drought. Isn't that good? I have a friend in West Virginia. He's the greatest lay soul winner I've ever known. His name is Denver Blake. He lives in West Virginia. He served as a deacon in a church that I pastored there. Brother Denver Blake epitomizes that truth right there. Satisfy thy soul in drought. Denver Blake had serious surgery a few years ago. I'm talking about lymph nodes, his throat. Doctor had to go in there and literally cut his throat all the way down. You can see that scar to this day. It's a major surgery. But people were praying for Denver. Churches were praying for Brother Denver. And God brought him through. Terrible surgery. Brother Denver has a daughter who also had a serious physical illness that just about took her life. Brother Denver Blake lost his job. He worked at a mill over in Covington, Virginia. And he almost retired, almost reached retirement, lost his job. Brother Denver has been through many things, but he's one person that I think of as a person who has not changed, though. His smile, his countenance, his joy has been fixed. He still smiles even though he's been through the drought. He still rejoices even though he's been in the drought. I'll tell you why. Because by God's grace, he's found satisfaction in the drought. And when we have those terrible reports where the doctor says, "I'm sorry, but," or our finances go south, our health leaves us, our friends forsake us, I still believe that God still satisfies our soul in drought. Those times we suffer, those times we hurt, those times we can't do anything but feel pain, God still satisfies our soul in drought. A person's truly happy. May I quickly say this morning, when satisfaction does depend on outward circumstances, even in times of drought, when the health shifts and the finances shift, and even death invades our ranks, God's people still have a hidden manna, have a resource, and we're still happy even during those times of drought. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be on the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. You see, when the soul is satisfied, not the mind, not the body, not the emotions, when the soul is satisfied, we can rejoice in spite of circumstances. We can't help but be happy when the soul is satisfied. And that's why I'm saying this morning, that's why people need to get on board with God. That's why people need Christ in their life. That's why people need to be saved. Have you ever in your life seen a time, even in this country of ours, where things have come unraveled at the seams in so many ways, than the past couple weeks or months? I'm telling you, it's gloom and doom on every hand. I mean, what other new war are we going to be involved in? It's the same time our military being taken down to where we wouldn't even be able to fight a war, hardly. Politicians are ruining the country. The economy is hurting. $17+ trillion of debt. And then we're invaded by sin, the endorsement of the homosexual movement, and so forth. How despicable, how disgusting. Did you say anything about it? They try to pull hate crime charges against you. But bless God, what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. What God calls sin, we'll keep calling sin. All I can say is they just need to build bigger jails. Because there's some people in this country that still are going to stand for what's right, regardless of the filthy, vile condition of our society. But we look around us. It doesn't look very hopeful, does it? But all thank God when Jesus Christ comes into life, the soul is satisfied. That gets deep. That goes down to the core. That gives us an inner strength that the world doesn't have. I said all that to say this morning. My friend, you need Christ. You need the Lord. What is a happy person? A happy person is saved. A happy person is satisfied. Real satisfied. And a happy person is strong. You say, preacher, where in the world do you get that thought from? I actually think you get it right from the verse. Now, I want you to see something here. Make fat thy bones. Now, again, go figure. This says nothing about make fat thy body. Many of us have already obeyed that command real well. Make fat thy bones. Let me give you a thought. And I give old brother Charles Spurgeon credit for this. I was reading this passage and here's what he points out. And I sit there and said, amen. I never seen it like that. This said, now listen, the bones, think about this, follow this thought here. The bones have to do with the frame of our body. The bones has to do with the frame of our body. Now, I think this, I believe this reminds us of the strength of the body. I'm saying that a Christian that is developing in strength and growing in maturity is a happier person. Is a happier person. So a happy person is a person that is stronger. You know, getting stronger. The bones are being made fatter. In the years that I've pastored, I've known a few people now in churches that aren't too happy because they're stagnated in this area right here. They're just not growing. They're not getting stronger. They're just not maturing, just not developing. And I'm telling you, they get hard to live with sometimes when you're like that. So making the bones fatter. You know this. You can go out here and you can exercise. You can work out. You can run. Do all those good things. But again, as I've said before, sometimes I get so tired of these exercisers that choose to do it Sunday morning while we're coming to church. Y'all know that's a pet peeve with me. These joggers and bikers going up and down the road, going right by this church, and here we're having service in here. That disgusts me to no end. I like to chart off this road out here on Sunday morning. I said many times I would to God they'd pull in their house, take a good shower, put some clothes on, and jog on to church. But here's what I've noticed. You can go out here and you can work out and you really feel good when you get through exercising, don't you? It's just a gratifying feeling. You worked up some sweat and you just feel better. Now, of course, hopefully it'll not be like the guy that I knew in the military. He went over to the gym, had a workout, and on the way back from the gym had a massive heart attack. So, you know, I'm sure that didn't feel too good. But you see, a workout here, I'm just simply making a point here. I believe this. I believe that a happy person is becoming stronger. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We'll be happier with a strong spiritual frame. Which I challenge this morning every person in this building that is saved, get stronger. I get your bones stronger. God will bless you. And you'll be happier. A happy person, and I've got to hurry, is a saved person, is a satisfied person, is a strong person, and is a submissive person. Now notice again the verse. It says, and thou shalt be like a watered garden. Watered garden. A fruitful garden is a watered garden. What do we see here? I think we see here this. I see this thought. The Holy Spirit's work now in a Christian's life causes fruit bearing. A happy Christian is one who does not grieve the Spirit, but rather submits to Him. John chapter 4 verse 14. What about that precious verse? Jesus said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I just believe this. I believe that a happy Christian will be an individual that'll submit to the Spirit of God's control, that'll follow the Spirit of God's leadership. And of course that person will be a fruit-bearing person because as the Holy Spirit of God works in and through that faithful, submissive Christian, they're going to be bearing more fruit for God's glory. And I'll tell you something, that'll put a smile on your face. Whether we're talking about soul winning, leading people to Christ, or whether we're talking about the various other fruits that are displayed in the lives of God's people, you'll be a happier Christian if you'll submit to the Holy Spirit of God's leadership. And then finally, a happy person is this. A happy person is saved, satisfied, strong, submissive, and then last of all is secure. Now let me show you this and I'll be through. I'll be taking my wife out to our anniversary dinner, so you know I'm going to hurry up now. Look what it says there. The Bible says it shall be like a spring of water. Now catch this, whose waters fail not. Whose waters fail not. The water supply is endless. The waters will not fail. Now here's my application. A happy Christian is a person who senses and knows of their security. They know that they have a water supply that is endless. Now come back to that verse I gave you earlier. Here's what it says. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into what? Go ahead and say it. Everlasting life. I'm saying today that truly a happy person is a child of God that locks in on security. We know that the fountain will never dry up. We know that the water supply is endless. Thank God, I'm glad when God said eternal life, I'm glad that I don't care what Webster or anybody else tries to do in terms of changing the definition. Thank God it sticks. If you're saved today, praise God, you'll be saved tomorrow. And furthermore, there'll never be a deficiency. When it comes to the initial thing of salvation or justification, you'll never lose tomorrow what God gave you. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. You want to know who a happy person is? It's the Christian. It's a Christian out there that knows they're saved, knows they're secure, knows the water fountain will never dry up. It's a blessed thing to look people in the eyes and say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I'll tell you, you can't do a whole lot against a person that's totally convinced that Christ is in their life and they're saved for time and for eternity. That's a happy person there for you. Now, in closing, a man one time made this statement. He said he came from the greatest state in the country. He said it's a state of contentment. And I tell you what, it makes for a content person when you have that joy and that happiness that only God can give. Who's a happy person? A happy person then, as we've said, is saved, satisfied, strong, submissive to the Holy Spirit, and secure because they know that the fountain will never dry up. I thank the Lord today that whom He calls, He justifies, and whom He justifies, the Bible says He glorifies. It's a locked up, done deal. In God's mind, the one that started the process, praise God's going to end it. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I stand here today as an old sinner saved by grace, deserving the depth of the lowest hell. But I can tell you because of God's grace, I know I'm going to heaven. And not by any merit on my own part, it's not by works of righteousness which I've done, but according to His glorious work at Calvary. And God will get the credit. And when God's people get home, one thing we're going to know, surely, clearly then, Jesus led me all the way. Are you happy today? I can tell you how you can get started, get saved. And then as a Christian, get serious about these things that we mentioned today, and you'll be happier. Let's bow our heads in prayer.